Aloha, my friends. I go by Honeybee. Welcome on in to this special and sacred space. I'm so excited to welcome you into the Poetry of Intimacy Lounge, first episode ever. It's a little late at night. I'm having some time in the whole house to myself. It is feeling like the perfect time to hit record. I just want to welcome you on in here to let us pour the tea, light the candles, and laugh at the mess and the magic of love. This is a poetic playground for intimacy, where communication becomes art and relationships are treated like living rituals. And I mean that in the most loving way when I say rituals, because at this moment in time right now, the word ritual is trending in our society here in 2026, where we're finding out some of the darkest depths of our governments and elite leaders that are unfortunately doing some pretty terrible things. But that's for another time. But let me tell you, that's actually a reason why I'm sitting down and saying that this is the time to record, because I think more light and love need to come into this world, and I'm tired of playing small. I'm tired of making it about my ego and blah, blah, blah. It's time to talk about things that are real and that matter to our human life experiences on Earth. We are here to love. Love is supposed to feel safe and supportive, a higher frequency that makes us feel warm, comfortable, safe, rapturous, activated, orgasmic, loving, loyal, forgiving, all these terms. That's what we want to feel in love, right? It's when unhealthy, toxic patterns come into the mix. It's when people abuse people. It's when others impose or aggressively pursue or make others feel uncomfortable or continuously take advantage of just someone's love. And that's when it can feel really sticky and icky. So I really wanted to make the Poetry of Intimacy Lounge a place that is all-inclusive, safe, all genders, all ethnicities. The more colorful, the better. I am not about borders. I am not about things that separate humankind. Love is literally the thread that allows us to stay compassionate and to feel wholesome here. So you're not alone, my love, in wherever you are in your life, whatever phase or season of love that you are in. Healing your heart doesn't have to feel chaotic. It doesn't have to feel like a roller coaster anymore. Healing doesn't have to be done alone. We can talk about things within the community, whether you're single, in partnership, ending a relationship, wherever you might be in your life, this is a safe space for us to communicate. And we communicate with grace and curiosity. We explore topics of eros, soulful storytelling, authentic conversations on becoming safer lovers. We'll have conversations on how to root into our truths guided by God's blessings along the way. So I'm super excited to be a part of this journey and to start sharing what this is all about. And I go by Honeybee. I am a sex, love, and relationship coach certified in the Vida methodology. I just graduated this last December, 2025, and I am so excited to share what Vida was for me. So I will sprinkle so much information throughout this path, throughout this journey and different conversations. There will be some interweaving of the journey that I've been on that has gotten me to this place. So I want to share, like, I have a little outline, like a little intention for this session. And I want to share who I am and where Honeybee came from. And to acknowledge that this whole space is to support a safe and healthy sex positive world. And I want to share my mission on why that's important to me. And I'd love to share along the way, like, what dating and all that juicy talk about intimacy, like, where does that lead and how this can support you on your path. And I want to always end a session in the Poetry of Intimacy Lounge with a little poetry. A little poetry on love to inspire your eros, your rapture, or simply to heal the heart. So if you're just tuning in, I invite you to subscribe to this channel, the Poetry of Intimacy Lounge, and also to jump on my website, honeybeelovealchemy.com, and you'll see one of the little pop-ups that invites you to choose what topics of juicy juice you want to receive in your inbox, and that'll be a direct line of communication with me to be able to talk about these things. I'd love to share my newsletter with you, and I'm going to keep you in the know as I develop, make meditations and different programs that surround these different topics, and also to keep you in the know with new podcast episodes and all of that stuff. So I'm super grateful for you to subscribe, enroll in the old school format of email, and be a part of this journey with me, my friends. Like, this is really exciting. I love sitting here on this mic in my cozy corner, in my place where I live. It's so beautiful. The ocean's off in the distance. It's so great. I feel so blessed. Like, Jah literally provides. God is a source of love and light. And I pray for the anointing and the light to fill this space and protect this space. Protect all that listen to this from any harm or evils, wrongdoings, toxic patterns, behaviors. Like, may you be released from that. And I welcome all walks of life in this space that have different beliefs. I will infuse my beliefs of God and faith and interweaving it with different historical aspects of where Tantra came from and where we've learned what chakras are or the different jeds, like in Egyptian times. And I don't claim to know all the answers, but I am so excited to be on this path of education, not just educating myself consistently as I grow into the coach that I am, but also to share topics that might not normally be talked about and or shared about, because sometimes conversations around love and sexuality can be awkward. So this is like the sex ed that you didn't get in junior high, but are like, okay, how do I talk to my kids about this? How do I make a conversation about sex more like accessible around us? Because this energy, that life force, eros of sexual energy, is the most potent of all. I mean, creation at its core, the miracles of life, all of that has so much power. But when we access the lower energies and lower frequencies, like, you know, porn or abuse or manipulation, things of that nature, that's where sexual repression comes in. Like, that is the oppressor. Those are one of many of the oppressors that can happen in this realm. So as we bring awareness to the dating scene, to loving relationships, to sacred monogamy, to divine guidance, to all different topics, I just want to bring that awareness and share real and raw truths with you about love. So thank you so much for being in this space with me. And I'm excited to tell you where Honeybee was born. So going back about, I want to say 7 years ago, I was living in Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago. And I was a server at a restaurant going to school to be a special needs Spanish teacher. And I started feeling really disconnected to the school system. I mean, I'd spent my life in the system thinking, yeah, like, I could be a teacher. My mom was one. But then I started actually going and doing my student teaching and feeling really anxious. I don't think I've healed at that point in life, like healed my wounds, family traumas, and just the ickiness around like my life, that I just wasn't called to it. I knew I wanted to help people, but I just didn't know in what facet. And so I sort of just was seeking something that felt and allowed me to feel alive. So of course I had some friends that were talking about Burning Man and they invited me to come. And sure enough, we got in our cars, drove 3 days into the desert from Chicago into Black Rock City, And when I landed there, I almost felt like an instant feeling of coming home, which is fun because everyone that goes is like, yeah, you're going home. Like you're home. And when I say home, I feel this like immense welcoming of like my own heart. It wasn't just people that was welcoming. It was this energy of myself feeling welcome in my own body. I was riding my bike every day. I was drinking coconut water. I felt super healthy. And it's not this crazy, I'm going to be like shoved into every orgy room and this and that people make it out to be. It is what you make it. And I thought it was beautiful that different families were there, different camps, and so organized. I mean, so organized, you can have your mom send you a piece of mail to the playa and you can receive it. So I love the ethos around and the whole concept around burn. And at this point in time, out of the 10 principles, I believe the 11th principle of the burn was consent. And I really like that. I'm like, ooh, consent feels good. Like, tell me more. Like, what is consent? And I had a friend who was doing sex therapy at the time. I just felt really called to understand more about all of this stuff. So I was like immersed in a community of people that were living their best lives, felt comfortable in their bodies, very creative, fun people. Our camp was called Camp Early Retirement, and we had cake and bingo, and we were just like celebrating people that were coming. We're like, what are you celebrating? What's your retirement? Like, it's your retirement. What are you retiring from? It's like this whole concept of just making somebody's day. I mean, there's so much I could share about the burn, which I'm sure if you've ever talked to anybody that's been to the burn, we'll talk your ear off about how exciting it was. But I think it has a place here and purpose to what Honeybee stands for me. And other than it being playful and fun, I just came back out of the burn claiming this name because it felt right and it felt like fun and it felt like F society for, you know, like, why can't I choose who I want to be in this life? It's my life. So it was just this fun, playful way. So of course I'm there and I am kind of coming out of this heartbreak. And so I woke up every morning at 6 a.m., not by choice, but because there was an art car that played the same song every single morning at the same time. And by day 5, I said, oh, this is actually a joke, right? I'm like, this is them doing this to fuck my burn. And sure enough, I mean, like, I can't like say explicitly like that's what they were doing. But at 6 a.m. every morning, I woke up jarred by the sound of an art car on the loudspeakers, just being like, I don't even know the song, but I'm going to sing you like the 5 seconds that I know. It was like, I take my baby. All right. Wait. All right. I'm going to like say 5 seconds of it. I take the morning train back down and do, 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 do. And I wish I knew what song it was, but I just don't. So I heard it every morning, woke up, I got on my bike. And one particular morning, I just wanted to ride into the sunset just by myself. Like, what magic can I find out here? And sure enough, I stumbled across this 40-piece orchestra out of nowhere, like an oasis. Just boop, playing the most soulful, melodic, such good energy. This the sounds of an orchestra at 6 a.m. Like, come on. I got off my bike. I stood there and I just started crying tears of joy, looking at these people, 40 plus people sitting here, all organized, coming together, sharing their gift, waking up early. I was so mesmerized by it. I was just thrilled at the amount of work, energy, and effort that came from it, but also the peace and the surprise. And that's what I love about this place is like the element of surprise. You have no idea what you will stumble across. And this was medicine for me. I had been heartbroken and just feeling really disconnected from my path in life. And so I was just trying to listen to each little holy nudge and divine dot that was guiding me to the next place, to the next place, to the next place, like following the breadcrumbs of God, if you will. And so on this journey, I had my eucalyptus on me. And if there's anything you need to know about the burn, it's not just like, it's not free economy, but it's a like gifting economy, right? There's like no money is welcome. And so my little gift to the playa was this eucalyptus that I had. And I made these little nasal inhalers because I knew it was going to be a dusty place. So I had this inhaler. I said, I'm going to bless somebody the next time I see them blowing their nose and offer them this eucalyptus. And as I was thinking about my gift, this man goes sneezing and snooting in his handkerchief. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that's him. I got to go. I'm gonna offer this. So I was like, pardon me, sir. I have a present for you. And he's like, oh, do tell. I was like, I have a little eucalyptus nasal inhaler here. Would you like it? And it's one of those, like when I say inhaler, you just like shove it in your nose and you inhale. It's not like a spray thing. Like I'm not spritzing eucalyptus up my nose, but it was this lovely eucalyptus on this cotton little inhaler thing. You put it in your nose, you smell it, you inhale, you feel the medicine. It's just so beautiful for your nose. So he's like, yes, thank you. So he grabs it, takes eucalyptus. He's like, I have a gift for you. I was like, amazing. He's like, want to come back and neti pot at my campsite? And I was like, absolutely. We are both about respiratory health. Let's go. So we went and we sat down and he showed me these beautiful cards that were essentially like postcards, but they had different pieces of art that he made. So he was a mandala sand artist and he would take these aerial views of him doing this mandala art on different beaches. He had different questions on the back of each card. And we did this whole session of speaking about like, hey, well, like, here's the question and answering the prompt. And one of them had to do with love. And I basically said, like, I'm in this season of my life where I feel troubled. Like, I feel like I consistently beeline it to one particular person and I hyperfixate on them. And I feel really attracted and like fiery energy towards them right off the bat. And I'm like all about it, like almost obsessively. And I know this about myself. That's the dark shadow that I lived in for a while. And so we had this conversation and of course he was there to offer support. And he was like, okay, well, since knowing you and understanding you, he's like, why don't you be more like a honeybee? And instead of beelining it to one particular thing, like, why don't you go from flower to flower and explore and be playful and continue to pollinate your love and your inspiration in the world and see what feels good and then land on a flower that feels right. Like, you don't have to stay on the one flower. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. That's really great advice. Noted. So we closed our conversation. Do not remember his name. Have not seen him since. But that conversation just really stands out in my mind. And I rode my bike back to our campsite. I started making breakfast. People were sitting around playing bingo. And my friend just walks up to me and looks me in the eye and said, you are a honeybee. And I'm like, why are you saying that? And it came from our conversations and the things that we were talking about earlier. And she didn't exactly know that, like, word for word, what I had said with this other person. Then I told them the story. And they're like, dude, that's your playa name. Like, that is your name. And so a thing to note about Burning Man is you get gifted a name. You can't just like name yourself. Like, I called the Thunderbolt Magnet. Like, you get named because of something that you might be doing or it just suits you. And other people around you, they like see you and you get named at the playa. And essentially you could take it or you could leave it. You don't have to go with the name that other people give you. Whatever resonates to you, it's your truth. So in that moment in time, I had been like waiting to find out what my playa name would be because I was being patient. I was like, okay, it's going to come to me one day. And in the first year I went, we didn't really have a name for me. But the second year was like so obvious, like that's it. And then I realized I had this bumblebee little honeybee tattoo on my arm and it started celebrating and being like, yes, I claim the honeybee and all this fun stuff. And fast forward to just coming back to the default world, I went to a couple of Burning Man decompressions and I met a lot of people. And so I was introducing myself as honeybee and it felt fun. No one questioned me. It was when other people outside of that community looked at me like I was crazy. And then I started being like, oh, I want to play with this crazy. And then like one drunken man was like, that's not your name. It can't be Honeybee. What is your government name? And I'm like, I am Honeybee. And that's all you need to know. I'm not going to sit here and show you my license plate, nor do I really want you to know my real name anyways. And so it just started becoming a joke. I was like, yeah, I'm running from the law. No one knows my real name. And then when I had the opportunity to move to California, which is a whole nother story, I continuously went by this name because it's fun and it's playful and this life is precious and we get to choose how we want to live. But really what that stood for me was a transformation in the old paradigm of like what I was as this nervous, emotionally anxious personality person to claiming authority of my playful nature and who I wanted to be. And so that was a pivotal moment in time. And ever since then, I've been flowing with the name. And I just feel it represents a really deep part of my journey of healing to love and loving myself. So it's really symbolic. And of course, the honeybees should be revered and honored. And I love them as a species. So it all worked out really well. And so I promised I would share a bit about what honeybee means to me and the intentions for this whole portal, this whole podcast, this whole The Poetry of Intimacy Lounge. Like, what is the purpose of this? And I know I mentioned I desire to share about matters of the heart. Because matters of the heart are never fully easy. Like, there, matters of the heart can be some of the heaviest and some of the lightest, most loving, expansive versions of ourselves. But I'm here because I support humans on a mission away from those toxic patterns and unhealthy dynamics. And to really love self, to understand your own worth, to walk away from things that just do not serve you anymore, and to walk towards the light of love. And to be in autonomy, like sovereignty around your life, around your most sensual, beautiful, private bits of you. And I do mean genitals. I mean your whole body. I mean everything about you that is you. It should be honored and revered. And so the second that you lean into that worth, love will find you. And in that, I really desire to share these matters of the heart because I wish I would have had a mentor back in the day when I was feeling so completely distraught and confused about where my life was leading. And so I'm really passionate about this because as a woman, I know so many stories of people being harmed in an emotional, psychological, physical, different, like too much to talk about. And really, people just seek support and a safe space to talk about stuff that matters. And I know that in our society right now, I had distrusted men for how I was raised in my dynamic. And it took me a long time of finding trust in men again. And the men in my life right now are some of the most loving, supportive, safest, protector, warrior-like energy, walk me to my car type of energy that I've ever felt. And we need more of this. The world needs more of these men in their power, connected to divinity, connected to the awareness, sober, California sober, of course, you know, free from alcohol, like the free from the lower energies that keep the toxic traits just ever flowing in the same loops from generation to generation. So these topics are super important to me. And of course, like I said, you will hear more about that journey as I share in different episodes. But to sprinkle like what this is about, I really just wanted to open up the portal to give you a taste of what I'm passionate about, what Honeybee stands for, how this whole love alchemy is being birthed into the world with the mission and the anointing from God. Like, divine dot after divine dot leading me to where I am now, sitting in front of this microphone, down to the people who are audio engineers in my life to allow me to learn how to work things like Logic Pro, website stuff. Like, all of this has been divinely guided, and I can't ignore it any longer. So I'm leaning in, and I am going to do the best I can to also inspire you and fire you up about what you're passionate about. It all is about love. And the last thing that I wanted to share around, like, what Vita is, what does a Vita coach mean? What does that certification entail? And so it just brings me to who I am before Vita, who I was during Vita, and who I became after. And Vita is the vital integrated tantric approach to love and intimacy. And it is guided by a group of amazing women. Layla Martin is the coach and the writer, creator of this energy, these eros, the frequency, the ethos. All of it has come with her desires to heal from her sexual abuse and into the hearts of many who are seeking safety. So when I ended up seeing the Vita coaching certification ad pretty much on Instagram, it was like an instant yes. I had been struggling in my relationship at the time with a man that I thought I was going to marry and have children with. And to this day, I love him very dearly, and he holds such an amazing space in my heart. And it is sad when these things end, and it sucks when you feel like you had your whole life figured out and it gets ripped out from underneath you. It's tough. But in this journey, the reason why I chose Vita Love and Intimacy Coaching was because I was in such a funk in my relationship. I had no idea where my direction was leading, but I knew that something wasn't right. I felt disconnected from our eros. There was a spark of our relationship that was gone. I'm essentially an embodied woman who loves to kiss, loves to make out. Like, I love that about love. And unfortunately, my person at the time just wasn't into it. They weren't that into kissing. They were when they were drinking alcohol. But then when they got sober, they sort of started not showing me affection anymore. And so I started questioning, like, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why doesn't this person show me affection like they used to? Like, what is wrong? And so we would have the hard conversations. We would have the bouts of separation. We would, you know, just go in circles about, like, wow, we love each other so much, but why does it feel like two opposing magnets, like, repelling each other? And so in the confusion and the despair, and after 2 years of trying to make sense of it and trying to make it work, of course, there's more to the story, of course, but in that, I was desperate, and I didn't know what was my trauma and what was his. And we both have our own traumas in our own way. He had suffered from some sexual traumas as well. And so with that, I wasn't sure whose was what and how to navigate it. We were just sort of in this cycle of, it was a loop. It was a cycle of confusion, loving, then not loving, then I'm anxious attachment, he was avoidant, like all this repelling and trying to make it work. And so when I saw this ad, it was such a full yes in my body, because I knew that I needed the most work. And I claimed to him, I'm going to do this course because I want our relationship to work out. I'm doing this for us. I want to learn all that I can about love. I want to know my truth. I want to know how to do this and how to do that. And I wasn't claiming it to be like, hey, I'm going to be your like savior here by learning all these things. No, he took his own path as well. He took educational courses from another coach, from other people that he was working one-on-one with. So we had our own paths to figuring it out. And I wasn't trying to come at it with like, I'm going to coach you now. So in the long run, I went into this journey because of the desperation and the suffering that I had felt. I mean, my womb shut down. It started feeling cramps and pain every time I was trying to feel horny. And I know what horny feels like. I feel so sensually embodied. That is my truth. However, the cramps, the shutting down, the feeling disconnected from my body, going to bed feeling really anxious and shaky, going to bed having nightmares, having all these things play out, I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. So I fully stepped in, not knowing where this would lead me. And where it led me was out of the relationship. It led me to my truth of who I am in love. It led me to choosing myself over and over again in the face of not feeling loved and not feeling like I could give love because my capacity was drained. I was cutting out like my own loving source and the well and the offspring of my own love because I was sad and angry. And anger is part of my story so deeply, but the anger was there. The lashing out, the driving and drinking drunk, the saying mean things when they were so uncalled for. But my traumas were coming through and the alcohol in our dynamic, it brought out a lot of dark things from both of us in different ways. But then we would pray together and then we would pray for each other and we would just ask God like to guide us to our truths and to what God wants for us. So, just taking a deep breath, like sometimes I feel anxious thinking that he might listen to this or that his new partner will listen to this or that this will get to them in some way. And I don't necessarily want to live in that fear, but how real is that? I am being vulnerable. I'm coming online. I'm sharing these things, but I share them in hopes that if you are on this journey also, or you have felt some of the things that I have felt, that you're not alone, you're not broken, you're just learning how to come back to wholesomeness. So it is my deepest devotion and desire to work in tandem with God's loving life force and love at the core of it, to create a safe space for you to begin your healing process or to begin to deepen your emotional capacity to love with that rapturous, warmth, orgasmic, safe, and ever-flowing wellspring of juicy love. And if you haven't experienced that juicy rapture and love yet, I am so hopeful and pray that one day you do get to experience what I mean by that. And that is why these conversations and the doors are opening for potential, for possibility, for the infinite possibilities. And I am so thankful for the birds and the bees and the opportunities that lie ahead from these conversations being had here in the Poetry of Intimacy Lounge. So please leave a comment below or subscribe to the email list to stay connected. Find me at honey.b.smooth on Instagram and subscribe to that email list when you have a chance. Don't do it while you're driving, baby. Keep your eyes on the road. But when you do have a chance to leave a little review or something that really resonates with you at the bottom of this episode, I would be so honored to receive it. And I will personally respond to each comment that anybody makes. So come bring your light and love. Come bring it all. I'm here to receive. And as I promised, I would love to end this segment with a little beautiful bit of poetry to inspire you on your mission. So before I do that, let's just take a nice deep breath together. Feel it in your lungs. Exhale as you relax the shoulders, let it go, let it flow out. Another deep breath in, let everything alchemize, let it come into your system, knowing that you are on the right path. And exhale, shoo, 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 shoo. Let it go, let it flow. And one more beautiful inhale for the third. Bring it in, pause gently at the top, and exhale as you release and let go and let it flow out. So as I share this poem, I was just seeking something that felt resonant. And this poem that I found was by Maya Angelou. And upon reading about her story, it's just wild what it entails. So I'll give you a short little bio of who she is to give you some context. And also, it's something that I'm really passionate about, which is the safety of all in a sex-positive world. So her story starts in April of 1928 in St. Louis, Missouri, and she was met with trauma at a young age. Essentially, as her mother divorced, she met a new man, and that man had unfortunately assaulted her at the age of 7. The man went to jail, and when he got out, he was later killed. She actually fell completely silent about her life for the next 6 years because she had thought that she was a part of that death, or the reason why her abuser died and was killed. So a pretty traumatic event for a young 7-year-old girl to not speak for nearly 6 years and choosing not to talk at all anymore, like that traumatizing. So during that time, she ended up returning to Arkansas, living with a grandmother, and in that silence, language had found her in the sense of poetry and song. And so as she moved into the world, she ended up in Oakland, California, and was trying to apply for different jobs. She was unable to get a job. They were denying her. She was a woman of color that was not welcome in certain places. But for where she was landing at just 15 years old, she did have her sights set on becoming a streetcar conductor in San Francisco. So when they kept closing it down, like the opportunity for her, she kept showing up. She was persistent every day for 3 weeks, refusing to disappear. I think that was really cool about the story because the poem I'm about to share with you has to do with cars. And just to know a little bit of like where she ended up working in San Francisco at the time is pretty fascinating. So about Maya Angelou, just her signs and her persistent, courageous, unwilling to accept the limits placed upon her, from silence to song, trauma to testimony, Maya Angelou would go down to redefine autobiography, poetry, truth-telling, stories, and reminding the world that even in quiet places, a powerful voice is being born. And so, my friends, I'd like to share with you the poem. Super short, but I love it and I feel it's powerful. It has to do with love. It's called Come and Be My Baby by Maya Angelou. The highway is full of big cars going nowhere fast, and folks is smoking anything that'll burn. Some people wrap their lives around a cocktail glass, and you sit wondering where you're going to turn. I got it. Come and be my baby. And so just ending that, and I think what resonates for me is just offering love. The offering of her love. Come and be my baby. She wants to take care. She wants to wrap you in her warmth. She wants to welcome you in amongst all the chaos of life. And so I found that to be pretty beautiful, sweet and soft, and love just learning what I have about this powerful woman who you could find on Spotify as her songs are out there. And so I hope that this poetry of Intimacy Lounge is a place that you feel welcome, and I am super excited to share more with you, to have these conversations. So thank you for joining me on episode numero uno and being a part of this journey. I'll see you all so soon. All is divine and all is on time. Ta-ta for now. Chaito, bye.